Panthers Pulse, an inside look at the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League, exclusively at Panthers.com.
It's radio, it's television, and it's on the web. We call it Panthers Pulse. It's Mike Kraft from Panthers.com, along with Brian Strickland, senior writer from Panthers.com, Greg Brannett, executive producer of all things digital media.
Okay.
Everything. Just grand poobah, digital media. All right. Plus, longtime broadcast partner, man. We've been working together a long time. And Dan LaTaraca, keeping his eye on Facebook, Twitter, all the social networks. And we are back after a week's hiatus. Last week with the Monday night game, we had to clear the table for our head coach's press conference after their big win in Philadelphia. But we are back here, and obviously, from listening to things around the building, listening to Coach, the focus is moving forward. And that's something we will talk about today during the Pulse. We will look ahead, and I just say, guys, at this point, you're standing at 3-9, four games left in the season, and there's nothing to do but look forward. And I think the focus of this franchise is moving forward. Brian, bring us up to date on what Coach talked about. Some of the things, I mean, at this point, there's no need to curse your fate.
Right.
I mean, it is what it is.
Yep.
And now you have to deal with it and continue to move a football team and progress forward to the next page. And what is the next page, as he talked about it?
Yeah, Coach Rivera has a press conference every Monday at 12, as a lot of people probably know. And yesterday's theme undoubtedly was what you just said, looking forward, looking to the future, and specifically looking to young players. And that the last month of the season will be an evaluation period. We already naturally see a lot of young players out there. We've seen a lot of young players out there since week one because of the makeup of this team. But we're seeing more and more of them. You know, DJ Campbell making his debut this past Sunday, Joe Adams getting more chances on offense. So there's going to be more and more of that as we go along. But at the same time, he stresses within the framework of we're still trying to win games, and that's still the number one priority.
Well, GB, you know, with the record at 3-9, there's no possibility of a winning season. Playoffs are out of the picture. But, I mean, we've been down this road before. Many seasons.
Unfortunately.
But we've also seen seeing progress and things come out of games that other people would say are meaningless,
right?
But to this team, they're not.
Now I go back to John Fox's first year. We were in Cleveland, and again, that was one of those seasons that, you know, as far as playoffs, there weren't going to be playoffs, but a big win in Cleveland, and I think even he recognized it at the time, and the team recognized that it was a big deal. And what happened was the last few games of that season, things got on a roll, carried into the offseason, and then picked right up in the 2003 season, and everybody knows what happened in 2003.
Yeah.
So, yes, the last four games, the final four is what, you know, we're talking about, you know, this week. The final four games matter big time, no matter what happens in the offseason. The final four games of the season will really indicate where the team's headed.
It's sometimes hard to look that far ahead, but when you've been down this road again and you've seen it happen time and time again, a guy from the roster who may not have scratched the field during a season where you're in playoff contention gets in, makes some positive plays, and then you see it carry over to the next year, and all next thing you know, there's a guy developing into a player on your roster.
But I'll jump right onto that one, too, and I think it's going to be Joe Adams. I think we've seen enough of him, and he finally climbed his way out of the doghouse, got on the field. I think just the fact over the course of two games, he's done what he's supposed to do on punt return, which is first catch the ball. He's done that well. He really hadn't had the chance to return a punt, but the fact that he's getting in on offense, and we saw that in Philly. He came out, had a couple plays, and then he kind of disappeared. Then he came back this past weekend in Kansas City, actually got to touch the ball. I think he's going to be one of those guys that he's going to let everybody know I've got something and I can contribute.
I think he's playing a lot looser. Did you have something to add?
Well, I was just going to say, I'll tell you where we need to see that too is on the defensive line going forward because of the unfortunate loss of Ron Edwards. I mean, Sione Fu has got a bigger role. He certainly still qualifies as a young guy. And then more on the outside, Nate Chandler and Frank Alexander. Frank, you know, made a lot of contributions early. It's been a little quieter here for a while, but that has a lot to do with how well Greg Hardy and Charles Johnson have played. But obviously, we need some help from the young guys up there.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk more about the defensive line. And as always on this show, our subject material comes from our social networks, and we count on you to kind of tell us what you want to talk about. And, Dan, what are some of the questions there that fans are looking at, especially ones looking ahead?
Well, the Football Juice and Chango Carrillo, two of our fans on Facebook, both had a question about Luke Kuechly. They both want to know, is he a lock for Defensive Rookie of the Year?
He got my vote. I don't have one officially.
He's got my vote, too. I don't either.
I don't have one officially. I may find somebody who does a ballot and corner them somewhere and tell them that's who they're going to vote for, because I'm going to tell you, hands down, Luke Kuechly is having one of the most impressive rookie campaigns that you could ever see. And we've had it back-to-back years because Cam hit it out of the park last year offensively. Now, linebackers is not going to get the public public notice. But GB, we're watching film. This guy's just doing everything you ask.
Well, and it's not only just on the film. It's the stuff that we see that maybe other people don't get to see, what he's turned into in the locker room, what he's turned into on the sidelines, in those sideline huddles. And my biggest concern, because the team has struggled with only three wins, we've had a couple of national spotlights, okay? But outside of that, not really. And has the rest of the country, has the rest of the NFL community seen what Luke Kuechly's all about? Because he has. He's been outstanding, not just – game here or game there. It's been week after week after week. This young man has come in and played just exceptional football and has turned into a leader. When John Beeson unfortunately went down with that injury and went out of the picture, there was a void. I would say that void has been filled. And that's nothing against John Beeson. I think John's, you know, critical to this defense. He needs to be a part of the defense. But Luke Kuechly stepped in, and he's really turned into that leader on the field. And this is a guy that hasn't even played a full season yet in the NFL.
I shudder to think what it would look like with John Beeson and Luke Kuechly side by side.
No, yeah.
There will be opposing running backs who will cast ballots for these guys.
What if we go back to an old 52 defense? You have two middle linebackers.
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Well, Brian, if we look at statistics on Kuechly, just to stay on him for a second, on the league stats, and I know tackles, you'll explain this a little bit, but he's leading the league in tackles among rookies. And there's some pretty good guys on that list. And he has one sack that he got this week and also one interception.
Yeah.
Now, pass defense, he has five breakups.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, if you look around the league, there's not a lot of guys playing that kind of pass defense. But, I mean, as far as if you go by the numbers, I mean, they're there.
There's
nothing to argue about.
You're saying NFL.com, just to make sure, 114, is that what I'm seeing there?
Yeah.
114 tackles, and that's fourth in the league.
Right. Overall.
Yeah. I mean, that's not just among rookies, obviously. That's across the league. I mean, those are eye-popping numbers. And, you know, honestly, like, to speak to what you said, that's what people are going to look at who vote. They're going to be looking at numbers, but they're also going to be noticing things like Janoris Jenkins scoring three touchdowns in the last 2 weeks.
Right.
You know, things like that get voters' attention. I mean, Luke's got our attention, and he's got our votes. Had a great year, and I will tell you too. We were going to talk about stats a little bit and let people know. Tackles are an unofficial stat, by the way, in the NFL. So that is based on game books produced.
The 114.
Right, coaches. This is league-wide, not just us, review the film a day or two after the game, and they come up with what becomes the team's version of the stats. Luke is going to be around 140 in that. And, I mean, obviously that's more accurate because, you know, speed of the game, not much time between plays, that's what the stats crew come up with. The coaching staff has a chance to look at it closer. But you can't really compare that 140 number to the rest of the league because we don't know where their numbers are.
I've been keeping my private stats. I have them at 362.
Oh, great, great.
That's a joke.
That might be generous.
I want to get technical. He has a bunch of tackles.
A bunch. Right. Well, and let me go back to the pass defense stat, which really for him, coming out of Boston College, he said there were two things as a linebacker he really wasn't asked to do: drop back and pass coverage, and also rush the passer, blitz. Mm-hmm. Well, we just saw him get his first sack, and so you look at those pass defenses, and I know he'll go back to what you tell him about the pass defense stat, he'll go back to one play and said, I should have had another one, and that was against Tampa Bay, and that play where, what, by 2 or 3 inches, you know, he missed. So, again, that speaks to how hard he's worked, that he's got those positive stats in the passing game. He's never done that before.
Right.
Well, I think he was sandbagging, because I looked at the film from Boston College, and I'm telling you, this guy has unbelievable play recognition. Yeah. And that's what it takes for a linebacker to decipher. Is it run? Is it pass? And then get in position.
Well, they just ask him to go sideline to sideline at BC.
And now I feel like he's making tackles even – I mean, early in the year, he was making a lot of tackles. Now I feel he's making tackles with even more emphasis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And he's getting better as the season goes along. Well, let's go back to our fans on our social networks and get some more questions.
A lot of fans are asking about which younger players do we think will see some more playing time as the season kind of winds down. We have four games left. And can we talk about some of the guys that might stand out or get an extended opportunity?
Well, I will say right off the bat with the injury in the defensive backfield with Sherrod Martin going down, DJ Campbell,
right,
a guy that many fans probably wouldn't be able to pick out of a lineup at this point. And this is one of those guys we talked about, GB. If it wasn't for the circumstances, he might not touch the field, but he has four games to put some things on film and say, hey, look at me when mini camp rolls around, when rookie camp rolls around.
Well, and again, unfortunately, with Sherrod going down during a game, you know, it was the old fire drill call. You know, you need to get out there now. I mean, DJ goes from standing there with a helmet in his hand, and suddenly he was out there. You know, and he had to finish the game. So, I think it's going to be important for him. And now what he will have is not only the spot duty, now he's going to have, you better prepare, you need to learn how to prepare and figure all those things out because you know you're going to be in the mix. So, and again, we already mentioned, you know, Joe Adams, you know, Brian, you talked about some of the younger guys on the D-line. I think all those guys, and this is their time. And again, I think the important part, Brian, that you referred to earlier, what Coach Rivera said, within the boundary of one thing, and that's winning football games. This isn't just simply about evaluating guys. Well, let's put in all the young guys.
Right.
Let's sit everybody else down. That's not what it's going to be about. It's going to have to be these guys plugging in. And I guarantee you, if DJ Campbell goes in there and looks like he's swimming in the deep end of the pool, they'll pull him out.
Right.
And that opportunity will come, and it'll go quickly.
Any guys you feel like will get a good look going down there?
I feel like we've already talked about some of those guys, you know, when we talked earlier. I mean, I didn't mention Frank Kearse along the offensive line as defensive line, as another guy that, you know, gets a kind of a second chance coming back from the practice squad onto the active roster.
Interesting guy there.
Mm-hmm.
We picked him up last year from Miami.
Right.
And he got some playing time last year. I think I remember in the Houston game he was a big contributor.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank's a pretty stout guy. I mean, we have him listed as 6'5", 315.
Yeah.
And if we know anything about this defensive interior, it needs to get bigger.
Absolutely.
In a hurry, because you lose Ron Edwards. And now, and no insult to the guys that went in, Fua and Andre Neblett, but you're talking about the NFL, and you're talking about controlling a gap, and it takes size to control a gap and strength. Now, these other guys have other qualities. They have high motors, which is fine. But if you can't stop a gap, then runs an a gap, and a team from attacking you there, now other guys tend to overcompensate. Mm-hmm. And when they do that, that leaves bigger holes. And I think that's part of the problem that we're seeing right now.
Well, Coach Rivera even alluded to that after the game this past Sunday and then this week about guys not, you know, trying to overextend what they're supposed to do. You know, either misreading a gap or thinking, I need to get over here to help this guy out. Now you've compromised, you know, your primary gap, and that's where the run goes. And I think it also speaks, if you think about last year, one of the biggest challenges of the defense, it seemed like it was a rotating door on the interior of that defensive line, trying to find somebody to kind of stop the bleeding there because, you know, Ron Edwards had been out all year. So I think he's one of those guys, he came back and you don't really notice him. I don't know how you miss him, but, you know, you don't really notice him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you made the comment on our television show last week going into the Kansas City game, you can't replace Ron Edwards with one guy.
No.
And he's just one of the, you know, not only the physical presence, but the veteran presence and understanding how to play, you know, and take up, you know, a center and a guard on almost every play.
That's definitely an area of concern as we move forward.
Hey, how about Josh Thomas, though? I mean, he's gotten some extended look towards the end of the year here, and he's played pretty well in you know, the limited chances he's got. Maybe we'll see him a little more moving forward. But
well, I'll tell you one thing he's shown, not to cut you off there, Dan, mm-hmm. but one thing he's shown is it's not too big for him. I have not seen him back down from a challenge.
No.
Well, no. But he had one thing this past weekend that you know, he got a couple of talkings to and just he lost his head a little bit, and again, that's part of that youth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not to get on him, but that's got to be part of it. You know, you talk about he may not back down, he should have.
I think when you described that on the radio broadcast, you talked about it as a father-son chat. That was sometimes, and as a father of three boys, sometimes your boys will do things that are just off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beyond explanation.
I mean, I have great kids. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes you got to extend that arm, put it around their shoulder, and say, look. This is what I want, and this is what you have to do.
Well, and this is what I don't want.
You don't want, exactly. Sometimes it's not what you do want. It's what you don't want. Well, let's keep, while we got these questions coming.
Yeah, a lot of fans want an update on Antoine Applewhite and David Geddes. I know we haven't seen them much lately. And, yeah. Brian, I know you spent some time in the locker room. Any updates on
them? Yeah, I mean, not anything earth-shattering. But I mean, couple of notes. I mean, we've been holding on with Antoine with the hamstring injury for a while. People have wondered if he'd end up on IR. The coaching staff's been patient with it. He's certainly a valuable, versatile asset. And this seems strange, but he was listed as doubtful on the injury report this last week, and that's actually an improvement. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's a good sign for this week. I think he practiced some toward the latter end of last week. And then with David Geddes, we remember he played one game coming off the PUP list. And then since then, coaches wanted to see Joe Adams a little bit more, and he has said, you know, I probably brought David back a little early. It was kind of like they needed him that week, honestly. Mm-hmm. And so now, just closely monitoring at practice, coach's word was soon he thinks he could get another shot. But, you know, they're just trying to make sure he's ready in practice, and they can afford to be patient as they try to look at, you know, Joe Adams or Monty Edwards more.
Well, let me ask you about Applewhite. If he can get back in the mix, and whether if it's this week or next week, because of now the shortage of bodies or that growing number, what does he do to that defensive line rotation? Or what kind of flexibility does that provide?
Well, I mean, I think he's more, obviously he's a D end officially. He's not going to slide inside. I mean, obviously we're still going to have that need, but he can free up, for example, you know, Mike, we've talked about this a little bit, you know, Greg Hardy occasionally helping inside, and, you know, that would give him a possibility to maybe even do that a little bit more. And he can drop back in pass coverage as well. I mean, there had even been some talk of Jason Williams probably, you know, trying that role out that Antoine has, that flexibility. But I think Antoine's right around the corner from coming back.
Well, one thing we know is that with these injuries, I mean, this is a heartless league, and teams will come after you. And these new guys that step in will be challenged right away. And it's just a fact of life. So, and I think we had one more question from Tim Smith.
There. Yeah. Has Cam Newton turned a corner recently? He was playing against weaker defenses, but his throws look more accurate, and the offense has been looking really great. What really changed there in the past couple of games?
Well, I just think focus, and I don't mean focus as in paying attention to what you're doing. I mean focus within the offense, because things seem to open up a little bit more. I mean, the offense looks a little bit different. You're seeing more eye back and single back behind the quarterback. Cam's under center more, so he's getting the benefit of play action. And when you look at things he's doing, I don't think he's staring down receivers as much as he was early in the year. I think he's finding the open man and moving that ball around. And I will tell you, one thing that I just find so remarkable about this young man, when you look at his arm strength, and one throw, there's one throw that you can judge a quarterback's arm strength on, and that's the deep out. Mm-hmm. There are guys who've been all everything in college, and when they get to the pros, one, they don't have the arm strength to get it where it needs to be, and they aren't able to do it in a timely fashion. He had one throw to Steve Smith on a deep out, and it was a laser, and it was right on point. Yeah. Steve toe-tapped and got the first down. And you look at a throw like that, and you go, wow. And this is what everybody has seen from Cam, just his physical ability. And I think now he's just loosening up and playing the game.
Well, and I think he was trying to take too much on himself, you know, mentally and physically early in the season. And really that's what's been lost, unfortunately, in the last month, is how well he's really played. And he was the NFC Offensive Player of the Week last week. Yep. And that got very little play nationally. And it's been the last four games, he's not thrown a pick. I mean, his QB rating, if you put anything into that, has been
nine touchdowns, two interceptions, last five games.
I mean, he's been off the charts. I mean, so he's been playing very, very well. And not only that, you know, he gets so much, and I know I'm going to sound like a Cam apologist here, but he's gotten so much criticism for everything he does. You know, the clothes he wears, the way he talks. But watching him over the past month on the sideline, and he did it again when we were in Kansas City, not just when things were going good, but when the team was struggling, He's up. He's talking to guys. He's talking to the offensive linemen. I mean, he's very, very engaged in what's going on. And I just think he's really matured. I mean, he's really in still, he'll tell you, he's got a ways to go. But he's really grown into the fact that he is an NFL starting quarterback. And everything that comes with that, he's starting to embrace it. And I think the offense has benefited because of that.
Real quickly, Brian, because we're running out of time, but how do you feel these last four games will help him one way or another?
Well, I mean, I'd love to see more of the same from him. I mean, what GB hit on is more important than anything, I think, about, you know, the maturation. I mean, but statistically, I want to point out, first time in his career he's gone three consecutive games without an interception. Obviously, he'd love to keep that going. And also, the last two games, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't even remember a pass where there was even an interception possibility where you thought, you know, it was a really off-target pass and the defense just didn't take advantage. So, just more of the same. And, you know, we got Atlanta coming up this week, which obviously is a big game, period. And for him being from that area, he always seems to play well against the Falcons. Just keep it going is pretty much what I would say.
Well, as always, we promise to stop talking before you start. Stop listening. What did I say?
Or start or stop.
Either way.
How can you blow a tagline anyway? It's been...
Well, it's almost lunchtime, Mike.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about that fried chicken on a buffet. I'm sorry. My mind's wandering. My blood sugar's low.
Hang in there.
But anyway, we will stop talking before you start listening. Thank you, Berkeley, for holding the music there.
Second time's a charm.
Right? Please join us next week for all the gang. We'll see you right here next time.
You still think you got it?
You said it again.
What did I say that time?